Okay, this morning, I'd like to cover as a summary, but not a review, a bunch of material with which we are not as a unit here conversant yet, but which other units are conversant with. I want to tell you about some various manifestations which have produced considerable effect on cases, but which are not particularly an end-all of all processes. You should know about them. These things are courage, serenity, nobility, admiration, betrayal, ridicule, and the manifestations which occur incident to a Thetan being in the middle of a universe which bombards him from a 360-degree periphery. Now, let's recall that in Book 1, Dianetics, Modern Science, Mental Health, May 9th, 1950, a considerable statement is made about survival and vectors. It said anything which seemed to align itself with the survival of an individual sort of an ally to his survival and was much more easily assimilated by the individual. You remember that section? All right. Let's take a case in point here. We have the flow of light in this universe, for instance, hitting a Thetan. Now, in order to have anything or pull anything in or retain anything, it is necessary for him to have an inflow. And light gives him this inflow from a 360-degree periphery. He's being hit by light, photons, cosmic rays, all kinds of things from various angles, and all of them are compressive. All of them are compressive. That is to say, if he kept relying upon them, he would be driven back into a pinpoint. And this, to a large degree, is what happens to a Thetan. He is a pinpoint, if that. And then this universe confirms it. So you see, it aligns itself that way. And in order to have anything, he has to have an inflow, and this universe helps him right out. It gives him an inflow from a 360-degree periphery. It helps him out, in other words. And he is helped out into a state of becoming fairly solid. And he gets up on his hind considerations every once in a while and rebels against this, and he said there shouldn't be all this inflow, and at that time he picks it out for his randomity. Up to that time it would simply go on through, but the moment he starts fighting it, it fixes him, but good. And after that he develops ridges and all sorts of interesting phenomena just out of the fact that things are flowing at him. Now anywhere he is in this universe, things will flow at him. And the way it looks to him is that everything is flowing at him, which brings about the computation of only one. It also brings about a distaste on his part for having anything held away from him. He's so natively indoctrinated into things flowing at him that when you hold something away from him or try to make something flow away from him, although this is very much to his benefit, very much to his benefit, you see, unburden his sins and everything else, he protests. And so we get the weird computation on his part confirmed, which is that I must be betrayed. What is betrayal? Betrayal is getting all your anchor points knocked in, that's what it is. And I must not be ridiculed. You see, the betrayal is 360-degree periphery, all these incoming photons and everything else. You see, it drives in his anchor points. So it gives him a thirst for having his anchor points driven in. The DEI, desire, enforcement, inhibit cycle, as you come down the line, actually gets him into a situation where he believes that he has to have these things coming in and has to have his anchor points knocked in by these things. And the result is, this is betrayal. The phenomenon of betrayal is having your anchor points knocked in. See, and this universe does it all the time. So an individual begins to believe, if when he gets into bad condition, that he must be betrayed. And conversely, he gets indoctrinated, you might say, this continual inflow. It's agree. He's agreeing. Inflow. He has to agree. He gets into this kind of a state of mind. He says, well, all this is coming in, therefore nothing must be held out away from me. Well, something being pulled away from him is categorized usually under loss, but pulled away and held away is ridicule. And all you would have to do to convince yourself of this is to go down the street, see a little child playing with a ball, and you pick up the little kid's ball and you hold it up in the air where he can't reach it. And after a little while, he's skirmishing around and so forth, he will realize that he can't reach it, and that is his ball, and it is being held up there in the air. And he will come to the conviction at that moment that he is being ridiculed. You don't have to say a word to him. That is the mechanical action of ridicule. Holding something away from somebody. Now, you can think in your lifetime when somebody had something of yours, oh, something valuable or not valuable. Diamond rings or wives or anything like that. You've even been impressed by somebody holding a wife away from you. See? Somebody won't let your wife come back home after she's been with her parents over the weekend. Something on this order, see? You feel that you were being ridiculed. That's the emotion which comes up to it. They don't respect you. See, they won't let your wife come home. Maybe they didn't even think about you, but the emotional reaction would be that they are doing this because they don't respect you and they wish to ridicule you. So that is the mechanic of ridicule, and it's quite an interesting mechanic. You could take a pre-clear and have him get the idea of somebody holding one of his mock-ups away from him someplace at a distance, and the sensation of being ridiculed will practically murder him. He feels, then, this sensation of ridicule. In other words, ridicule is this emotion of betrayal by twisting the force vectors the other way. You see, he's being betrayed, and he knows he should be betrayed, but instead of being betrayed, nobody's letting it come in. So he's being ridiculed, so this is very bad. Well, he gets into a very twisted frame of mind, but betrayal and ridicule go right together. You want to know now why Preakler keeps coming around to you and saying, they betrayed me, you know, he says, my mother was mean to me, my father was mean to me, everybody was mean to me, and so on. What is he saying? He is saying, they betrayed me, they betrayed me, they betrayed me, they betrayed me. And when he starts being audited, he'll hold up this facsimile and that facsimile and another facsimile and another facsimile, whatever other intention he has in it, he is saying to you, look at this betrayal, look at this betrayal, look at this betrayal. He'll tell you, I trusted them. I trusted them, and then they betrayed me. I trusted them, and then they betrayed me. He's saying, there was space, then there was no space. There was space, then there was no space. See? I trusted them, and then they betrayed me. Now, whatever he's chattering about to you, on the form of, look what they've done to me, look how horrible life is, yak, 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 anywhere along the line, it's true that life has knocked him around. This is perfectly true, but mechanically, below the level of consideration, it is simply that this is an inflow universe and he is as healthy as he can outflow. So it's actually upsetting his self-determinism, and this gives him the sensation of being betrayed. Having space, outflowing, is having faith in. Having your anchor points knocked in is being betrayed. The universe inflows on the individual so grossly and so continuously that he, of course, will hold on to and have nearest to him for his view the facsimiles of betrayal. And this is about all there is to it. Now, don't after this come around and tell me how awful this Preakler's home life was as the reason why his case is in bad shape. That is not why his case is in bad shape. Just that. Sure, he could associate with somebody, but it will only key in this mechanical fact. Mechanical betrayal. The behavior of people toward him will simply key in mechanical betrayal. So, man, therefore, being indoctrinated thoroughly into the high benefits of betrayal, betrays one another. He betrays his fellow. It's one of the best things he does. However, you won't find this taking place above what we call 2.0. We just don't discover this kind of a manifestation until an individual's down there packed in pretty tight where his own self-determinism's pretty bad off. That's why we say man is basically good, because he's observably good and out, all out for everybody long before he becomes cruel. and he's good, and all out for everybody, and three cheers, good ARC, and so forth, before he becomes a betrayer. And he's good long before, of course, he becomes the betrayee. But this is his sequence of action. He's all out for everybody, universe, pound, 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 pound on inflow. He decides he better be cruel, you know, inflow on somebody else, because that's what all the universe is doing, you know. And then his next one is get inflowed on. And that's a protest. And he goes down in that kind of a cycle and is finally himself betrayed. Every Quisling is eventually stabbed. The universe just dramatizes that way. Every Quisling is stabbed. So they can always say the villain gets his just desserts. Well, we don't know whether it's his just desserts or not, but we do know that it's a mechanical fact in this universe. Also, the hero will get his just desserts. He'll get stabbed the same way. So we can only conclude from this that people get stabbed. Of course, you can look on this as not too bad a phenomenon because it does dispose of mock-ups. It is an automatic knocker-outer form. An individual eventually dwindled down to a microscopic form and at that time probably decide to forget it all and escape and start another spiral, go it all over again. That's what a spiral is, an individual getting down to an incompressible point. An individual arriving at an incompressible point and then starting all over again. That's a spiral. It may take him many lifetimes to get down to a point where he wouldn't even vaguely think of being able to exteriorize, and it'll take him many more lifetimes to a point where he'll just be a speck without any power at all. He'll decide he's tired of this, and he'll exteriorize and start another spiral. Well, where your existence is complicated by a continuous automatic flow such as that found in the physical universe, you discover then and would expect to discover some pattern of emotion that would follow these various inflows and outflows. And so we can spot outflows and inflows on the chart of human evaluation. We can show where the outflows are and the inflows and so forth. You wouldn't think of it at first as such, but fear is actually an outflow. It's a dispersal. And so forth. They vary. Inflow-outflow ridge. Or outflow-inflow ridge. Let's see, it's outflow, ridge, inflow, ridge, outflow, ridge, inflow, ridge, outflow, ridge. And we get the manifestation of a discharging terminal, which eventually winds up into electrical equipment. You'd see that demonstrated in electrical equipment. It, alternating current is just alternatingly outflowing and inflowing from a ridge. A terminal of an electrical electrode in a motor is no more, no less than a ridge. And it outflows or it inflows according to its potential in its own environment. For instance, you get into a neighborhood of a bunch of guys who don't care who they shoot. They are all fully armed, and there is nothing controlling them. And they don't seem to have any particular feeling for life itself. They just don't seem to care. And they're just kind of looking for an excuse to gun down somebody. Boy, would you be quiet. And if you did start to inflow, boy, would you inflow in a hurry. That is to say, you're not armed and you're not of that order. See? There's inflow. That's a higher potential of outflow sitting around you. See that? A higher potential of outflow sitting around you then will make you inflow. See that? All right. Now, supposing you were armed and there's been a statute passed that under no circumstances are you to be arrested for anything, and under any circumstances you're permitted to carry all the weapons you care to carry, and you carry a 20-millimeter Ehrlichon across your back and a couple of blasters in your belt and a couple on each hip, all fully loaded, and you would have a tendency to outflow, wouldn't you? Particularly at those who had a tendency to inflow. Just the fact that the individual was going to inflow or had a potential inflow would have a tendency to make you outflow. Did you ever see a dog chase another dog just because the other dog started to run? See that? the fact the other dog is all set to inflow, which is to say he's scared. He's taken in, you know. He's being very, very, very careful to take in and not to take out, will cause another dog, even a coward of a dog, you know, to suddenly get very brave and start barking and snarling and so forth. Here you get matching behavior in terms of outflow and inflow. This is a terrifically interesting subject. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on here in terms of outflow, inflow, character of particles, manifestations of behavior, and so on. Oh, boy, is it an interesting subject. Well, it assists you in understanding the behavior of people, but it doesn't do you a damn bit of good in auditing besides this. You can see whether or not the preclear is coming up tone scale as to whether or not he's inflowing or outflowing. Total value in auditing. Total value. You got an inflowing preclear or an outflowing preclear or a ridge preclear. You can just measure them this way. They go through those three sequences, too. All right, if that's the case, then you say, well, gee whiz, all these... Gee, if you observe that much of a mechanic, and gosh, that must be very valuable in auditing. Well, take it from me. For over 2 years now, I've known all about this. And outside of estimating a case, the total value of it in processing is nil. You start processing in terms of flows, and all you do is discharge one ridge into another ridge. And you can do this forever. I know. I've audited preclears hour after hour after hour, flowing a ridge here and getting flows that way and starting flows the other way and flows and some more flows and get a concept and some more flows and we match some terminals and get some flows and we double terminals and we get some flows. And we take A, B, and C processing and have people looking up from the bottom, flowing toward people at the top, and we, oh boy. Fantastic. I'm sure that it does something for somebody, but it's not the preclear. Well, you just drop flows out of your auditing kit. Anything that looks like a flow, I just drop it out of your auditing kit and say that's an interesting way to estimate a case, and very interesting experimentally, that's all. Because you just waste time by fooling around with it. In the first place, you start match terminaling anything. And the next thing you know, everything is discharged. All the batteries are down on the preclear. He might feel a little better for a moment, but the batteries go down. Now, I have done this, you see, used this sort of thing as an emergency assist, remembering immediately to remedy the havingness of the individual's been run on. I've used it as an emergency assist. In other words, some woman wildly jealous of her husband's sweetheart, as women will unreasonably be sometimes. I've taken this girl and had her double terminal, this guy's sweetheart, and discharge it, and all of a sudden she isn't excited about it anymore. Well, that's very workable, and would work on this case for some little time. It would work for hours, 2 hours maybe. Maybe only an hour and a half. And then, boom, all the batteries go flat. Well, you start to remedy the havingness of this individual, and you don't get any kind of a balanced remedy of havingness or anything of the sort. I mean, it sets up, and then it flows in some cockeyed fashion now. And then flows start up suddenly. And then new ridges come into being, and they pass out of being. You can have a picnic. Useful for an emergency assist, maybe, but boy, would you be pauperized in the brain department if you had to use it on somebody. I mean, that's just about as crude as you can get, see, I mean, in technique. That's crude. This person's worried about her mother-in-law. All right, so she's worried about her mother-in-law. And you say, all right, double terminal your mother-in-law. Well, sure, you can do something. But if she's so worried about her mother-in-law, why, there's something much more basic and fundamental wrong with her anyhow. To hell with the mother-in-law. You say, well, I have to get it out of the road because it's a present-time problem. All right, use it for a present-time problem. Get it out of the road. Just show the preclear you can produce an effect. Well, once you get these flows running, there is no end in view. You start them running, and the batteries charge, and the ridges outflow, and the ridges inflow, and the space goes, and the stuff goes zap-zap, and you've got a picnic on your hands. as an auditor. Well, how would you handle it then if she was worried about her mother-in-law? I just spot all places where she'd associated with her mother-in-law and remedy havingness of mothers and mother-in-laws and women. You see, space and objects. Leave them flows alone. Space and objects. Fine, fine. Nothing wrong with that. Flows? So, all this material I'm giving you about ridicule and betrayal and so forth can assist you to understand the emotional state of your preclair and to estimate why your preclair is compulsively outflowing at you. You know, as a communication lag, an outflow communication lag. Or is compulsively inhibiting any kind of an inflow, or is just inflowing like mad, and you think your preclear is just getting along fine because your preclear is so obedient. Any time, by the way, that you see a preclear's eyes going brrrr, you know, see that eyelid flutter, brrrr, and the preclear looks at you rather fixedly, yes, 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 that's so agreeable, you know, yes, yes. Sometime kind of shift in midstream and without changing the tone of your voice, and you've just said to this preclear, now get three places where you were not. Now butter the watermelon. You'll say, yes, 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 yes. You expect them to go on past this, now butter the watermelon, you know. Expect them to go on past this and then do a comedy double take. You know, boom, come back here and say, what'd you say? No, they won't. Not if they're in bad shape and are really in an hypnotic trance. It's one of the ways you test them. You know what you could do with that case? You could say there's a kangaroo now standing in front of you. Now there's another kangaroo facing him. Now the fact these two kangaroos are facing each other will cause you to have two kangaroos, and as soon as they hop once, you will be well. A person would see two kangaroos, and he'd see them facing each other, and he'd see them hop once, and then he would tell you obediently, I'm well. No change, think. Or he might, for a day, go around dramatizing it, telling everybody how well he is. You know, I'm well, I'm well. No change, no change. Once in a while, you will run into somebody who has read something in the field of the mind or something like that, and it's just, you know, you run it out. There's a good way to make a test of that. Give them a page on the subject of the mind, have them read it, and then audit them. You'll find out that's all that's there to be audited. You'll audit out the page. Give it to them, have them read it, then audit out the page. Then give them the page, have them read it, and then audit out the page. I've done this as an experiment with one of these cases. That was all that anybody was ever doing with his case, you know, just stirring around and around. Here, anything that went in got audited out, but the auditor was really doing all the auditing anyhow, and the individual wasn't there. You're just sort of an observer watching all this show going on, and it was interesting, wasn't it? So forth. He's supposed to be interested, he thinks. You get that case every once in a while, and you're totally baffled. You exteriorize them. You say, now, are you exteriorized? Yes. Are you perfectly certain you're exteriorized? Yes. You say, do so-and-so? Did you do so-and-so? Yes. Yes. Had an auditor come up to me one time, and he was dismayed. He said, he'd had one of these cases that was inflowing and would inflow just zong, and any inflow would simply put this case into a trance. He had audited this case for 3 hours and had discovered at that time that the preclear answered yes to everything. I'd say that auditor was really on the ball. Of course, there are auditors that don't discover it for 30, 40, 50 hours, and some who never have discovered it. But the preclear is simply sitting there running on a yes circuit. And now, did you butter the watermelon? Yes. Very obedient. Yes. And you say, all right, now put your hat on the chandelier. Did you do that? Yes. No, I mean your real hat. Did you put your real hat on the chandelier? Yes. Is your hat on the chandelier at this moment? Yes. What's going on? Does the person really think his hat's on the chandelier? Sure, he's got a picture of it right there in front of his face. You said so, didn't you? Well, that's what put the picture there. In other words, all of his pictures are other determined pictures. Well, this case will fool you every once in a while, and you'll run into this case, bang, and this case is an inflow, super inflow case. And you will audit this case, and you'll ask this case, are you exteriorized certainty? And the guy say yes. He says yes to almost anything. He'll be almost in communication. He'll fool you. You'll say, you know, this guy really is in communication, but there's a little something wrong with it. And you will say, well, after that, all step ones, perhaps, maybe they're all neurotic, huh? See, it'd be silly. You could also draw this conclusion on any basis. You could say, now, do you have a black field all around you? Yes. And then draw the conclusion that all step fives are neurotic. See, it's just what you determine that would determine the case. These are the people normally pick up to do mental research on. Just anything they say goes. In the psychology department of a large university, I checked over the subjects that they were using for test response subjects. And every damn one of them was an hypnotic subject. So they didn't have a series on anything but hypnotic subjects. Now, this is inflow. And if you don't understand this inflow characteristic, outflow characteristic, you might not notice that. Courage is the entering wedge. That is where the individual is just vaguely starting to resist the universe. See? So it's the first outflow against the inflow. See that? Be courageous. Nobility is a ridge. See? About the highest level ridge. Enjoyment is the first edge into inflow. There is the individual himself inviting the inflow, helping it come in. Courage, he is pressing against it. Nobility, he is standing there. You got these three states now, outflow, inflow, and so forth. Well, you can use those things as particles. You find out that they're solvent particles. They will. I mean, you direct courage, nobility, and enjoyment into the environment and so forth, and you will start flows running. Your pre-clear, by the way, can occasionally locate himself this way, and they have a lot of indifferent uses. You'd know where to use them, though. Where you are really hung with this one, and where you should know about these, really, is where you get somebody who is stuck in one of them, you know, in a manic on one of them, who is using it as a modus operandi. And, of course, if he's courage, he'll just get himself in solid. He will eventually go into noble sacrifice, noble this, noble that. He just started being courageous, and he goes in and sticks, you see. Now, after a little while, he'll start to enjoy being such a martyr. And that's the first inflow. But you watch individuals stuck at these various lines. You start to use these as flow particles. They, of course, apparently dissolve ridges, because all ridges have these in common. The wavelength of these emotions is very minute. It's way up toward the aesthetic band. And therefore, you get beauty all mixed up with these things. It's not up there in the aesthetic band. It's beauty is mixed up with it. Ridicule, betrayal, you understand that very easily, of course, because this is the whole principle of it, is the emotions resulting from it. There are many kinds of betrayal. There are many kinds of ridicule. There are various bands. Individuals react to these things seriously or easily, the case may be. No great use to you in auditing, I can assure you of that. I've been testing it for a couple of years. We have techniques today, just spotting space and remedying having. This is so superior as a technique. 8D is so superior as a technique. 8C is so superior as a technique that there's just no comparison, because evidently you start flows running and they go on forever. But you have to know about these particles, what they are, and more or less why they're important. They're important because they're the entering wedge into enjoyment, inviting the inflow, the entering wedge into resisting the inflow and the environment. And nobility, of course, is just a ridge itself, but it's an embryonic ridge. It's right there as the beginning ridge. Now, you say there should be another emotion of the individual slightly resisting the outflow, but this, of course, would be just a bit of a resistance toward ridicule. This would be pride in the face of betrayal. And so on. You get these emotions mixed up, and you could make yourself a whole character out of just which one of these emotions you decided to be the highest level emotion. Otherwise than that, it's not important to you.